Good morning. My name is Blair. Welcome to our podcast this morning, where we are continuing our series looking at the times where Jesus uses the phrase, I am, when describing himself. And today we're going to look more closely at the time Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Thanks for joining me, and I really hope that you enjoy today's topic. You know, each and every one of us grew up in our own unique home situation and environment. And each of those homes had their own flavors and quirks to them. One of the quirks of my home growing up was that my family had a bit of a dark sense of humor. You know, things that some people would never think to joke about, my family would comment humorously and giggle over. It was our way of coping with the difficulties of life. And, you know, fortunately, I'm just intelligent enough to have realized that not everybody appreciates that kind of humor. And one of the ways that I learned this was when I used a phrase a couple times that was met with stunned silence or nervous laughter. And the phrase is this, hey, don't take life too seriously because no one gets out alive. Right? And the couple times that I used it, it was met with crickets. I mean, awkward silence. I mean, and I understand why, and so I don't use it anymore. So you see, real change is possible. But, you know, here's the thing. In my experience, most people are uncomfortable, very uncomfortable, talking about death. I mean, we all know it's going to happen. We're conscious of this fact. It's one of the things that actually distinguishes us from the rest of creation is that we know for certain that we will have an end. It's not simply instinct, but we are actively aware of death. And we often put a lot of effort into avoiding it as long as possible. Understandably so, right? Now, this creates an interesting dynamic for a committed believer. Because, you know, we have this understanding that our physical death is just a transition into a superior reality. For a Christian, death is the doorway that we walk through to eternity with God. It isn't a bad thing. It's a thing that liberates us in some ways. The end of life is the beginning of something so much better because eternity is waiting for us. So we can have hope even in death. Now, right now, our world is very focused on the reality of death and captured by the fear of it. And it seems to me that as believers, we have a very good answer for that fear. It's the person of Jesus. And when you trust him with your life, you will experience him as the one who gives life, eternal life. So Jesus described himself this way in John chapter 11, if you want to turn there or click there in your Bibles, and he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will live even though they die, because the life I'm offering is eternal. Now here's some context for Jesus' statement about himself. Jesus was friends with three siblings, Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus. And at the start of John chapter 11, Lazarus falls ill and he dies. Before his death, his sisters asked Jesus to come, of course, knowing that Jesus would heal their sick brother. But instead of going, Jesus delays for 2 days. And in that time, Lazarus dies. Now, Judea, where Jesus was headed, where Mary and Martha and Lazarus were, that was a dangerous place for Jesus because of opposition from religious leaders that wanted to kill him. So his disciples, his followers, are surprised Jesus wants to go. But he explains to them there that he still has work to do. And one of the things that you and I can understand from the Bible is that just like Jesus, God has put us here to work. And I don't mean just your employment, though that is important. There are things that God wants us to accomplish here on earth, some of which are very practical and tangible. As an example from our church, Bill Williams collects winter clothes to give away to those who need it in our community. We're so thrilled to partner with that. you know, to maybe just sharing the good news of Jesus to others, to the inner work of becoming personally more like Jesus. There's work for us to do. And someday we will each give an account to God for it. And so let me encourage you today, let me encourage you to take a few minutes, evaluate the priorities of your life and where working for God fits into the bigger picture of your life. I often have this nagging thought that I don't want to get to the end of my life and not having it meant something. I mean, not having it made a difference somehow for God. And I don't think I'm alone in that thought. I think it comes from God. So Jesus arrives at the village of Bethany, and by this time, you know, Lazarus has been dead 4 days. And this is significant. The 4 days are significant because many Jews believed that the soul remained around the body for 3 days after death in hopes of returning to it. And now, because it had been 4 days, all hope was gone. And it describes that in verse 19, that there is still a very large crowd gathered mourning Lazarus' death. Martha goes out to meet Jesus, and out of this place of grief, she tells Jesus that if he'd been there, her brother would not have died. You know, this is a very similar mindset that many in our world today live with, that death is so final, so complete that it can't be conquered. You know, Martha had hope when Lazarus was still alive, but now death has not only taken her brother, it's also taken her hope. And yet, in verse 22, she says this, she says to Jesus, "Even now I know God will give you whatever you ask." And, you know, this is just an incredible example of faith and trust from Martha. Despite her loss, despite her grief, despite the fact that she doesn't understand why Jesus didn't come sooner, she states that she will trust him anyway. I mean, there's a significant lesson for us here, for each and every one of us. You see, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were friends with Jesus. They'd spent time with him. They knew his power, but they also knew his character. They knew that he was good. They knew that he was loving. They knew that he could be trusted. And so Martha, even in the midst of pain and disappointment and confusion, states that she will trust Jesus. And it's the same for you and I today. We can trust Jesus in our difficulty. We can trust him in our loss, our pain. And loss and pain challenges our perception of life, doesn't it? But when we know both the power and the character of God, it's easier to make the choice to trust him. So whatever you're going through today, whatever you're facing, let me encourage you that you can trust Jesus. Now, Jesus responds to Martha by saying, "Your brother will rise again." And it appears Martha understood that Lazarus would rise with the righteous on the last day, but not that Jesus would immediately, you know, or might immediately bring Lazarus back from the dead. And this is where Jesus says the phrase, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." You see, now Jesus doesn't say here that he has resurrection and life or that he understands the secrets of resurrection and life, but he says he is the resurrection and life. There's nowhere else we find it. This flesh and blood person standing in front of Martha is the resurrection and the life. Death had no claim or hold over him, even though he was destined to die. But Jesus didn't see it as something to fear or something to avoid, or even something that he was subject to. He is the champion over death. And he explains that while everyone will physically die, those who believe in him will only leave their physical body to join him in eternity and never die. So Jesus then challenges Martha a little bit. He says, "Do you believe?" To which Martha responds, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world." You see, our beliefs lead us somewhere. And so I want to encourage you to ask yourself how deeply you believe that Jesus has conquered death for you. Do you believe that he is the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that you are free from the fear of death and free to fully embrace the life that God has for you? Do you believe that you will spend eternity with God? See, our belief around this will either lead us towards hope or to despair. And we have this amazing ability to decide what we will believe. Where are your beliefs leading you today? So it goes on, and it says in verse 35 that Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. And you know, and there's been debate over the years as to why Jesus would weep for his friend that he was about to raise from the dead. And, but I don't think Jesus was crying for Lazarus. I think seeing the grief of the crowd, the effect of death on his creation whom he loved, moved him to tears. You see, God doesn't want any one of us, not a single one of us, to live in fear of death, but instead, he wants us to experience him as our resurrection and life. So the story continues as Jesus asks for the stone in front of the tomb to be moved, and Martha objects. She says, you know, she's saying, well, you know, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days now. Jesus, he's going to smell very badly. To which Jesus encourages her to simply believe. So they take away the stone, and Jesus begins to pray out loud. And he even says in his prayer that it's for the benefit of those who were gathered there so they could hear him and would believe that he was who he was saying that he is. Jesus wants us, he wants you and I to believe in him, and he wants to give us tangible proof that we can believe in him. So Jesus calls out in a loud voice, implying that it was louder than the mourners. He calls out for Lazarus to come out of the grave, and he does. And Lazarus is still covered in grave clothes, which I think is God's way of just reinforcing how thoroughly he has conquered death. Even when you're covered in the clothes, he still is the victor. I mean, imagine standing there and seeing that. It would have been awe-inspiring and convincing. Jesus wants us to believe in him. So let me encourage you today to ask him to speak into the areas of death in your life, the areas of difficulty, to speak loudly into the areas of unbelief. And like Martha, you know, the answer you get may be different than you're expecting, and it may not come in the timing that you would like, but if you will trust Jesus, regardless of the outcome, if you will work at bringing your thoughts and beliefs into alignment with the character of Jesus, you will be able to perceive and understand the answer, even if it wasn't what you were expecting. And the fact is that it will be better than what you asked for, because that is the generous nature of God. Jesus claimed to be the resurrection and the life. And ultimately, he conquered death through the cross and resurrection. But on this day, in this story, he proved his power over death through resurrecting Lazarus. And that's available to you and I still today. Now, in a few moments, we're going to celebrate communion. And I almost always phrase it as a celebration, because this is where our victory originates. The Bible describes that the payment for our sin, our disobedience, our rebellion towards God is death. Everyone is going to physically die. No one gets out alive. But true death is not spending eternity with God in heaven, but instead ending up in hell, which was not created for us. It was created for Satan and his demons. It wasn't created for humanity, and God does not want anyone to go there. But he gives each of us a choice whether or not we will trust and believe in Jesus. Jesus' death on the cross paid for what we owed so that we can be made free from sin. And then Jesus rose from the dead, defeating death, making it possible for us to spend eternity with God in heaven. Communion is that celebration. It's the celebration of Christ, our conqueror. So get your bread and your juice, or whatever you're using for communion this morning. I've got mine right here. And I'm going to ask you to do this. As you hold it, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm going to ask you to picture the scene of Lazarus' tomb. The crowd of mourners. You know, you can hear the sounds, crying and wailing. You can feel the intense emotion of sorrow and the struggle to accept death. And now hear Jesus saying the words, "I am the resurrection and the life." And then moments later, speaking into a grave for Lazarus to come back from the dead. See, this is what the bread and the juice represent. God's way of making it possible for us to come back from the dead and to be with him forever. What a beautiful thing he's done for us. And so on the night that Jesus' betrayal would lead him to the cross, he was gathered with his followers and he took some bread and he broke it. And he said, "This bread is my body, which is going to be broken, beaten, and tortured for you." Let's eat it together. Thank you, Jesus, for your broken body. Thank you. And then he took the cup and said, "This wine is like my blood. And it's making a new agreement between God and man, where sin can be forgiven, new life can be found." Let's drink together and thank him for his sacrifice. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your body, for your blood that was given for us, that God, that we could move from death to life, that we could move from being sinners to being sons and daughters, to being your righteousness. Thank you, God, that while there was nothing we could do to earn it or deserve it, you gave it to us anyways, because that is your generous character. God, I pray that this week we would, each and every one of us, experience your resurrection in life. God, we bring to you the areas of struggle and the areas that feel like death in our life, whether it's relationships or finances or our future or our health or whatever it is. God, we bring them to you and we ask Jesus for you to speak into them and to call out the life that you have won, that we would experience the victory of your cross and your resurrection, that life that you have for us. God, we want to trust you more. We want to believe in you more fully. That we would, God, be transformed in our minds and the way that we think, to know your will, your good, pleasing, and perfect will, God. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. I pray that you would bless, that you would be with each person, that we would experience your resurrection in life in our homes, our marriages, our workplaces, our schools, in our relationships, our friendships, Lord. God, may you use us to demonstrate to those who don't believe in you yet your resurrection life. Speak to us about it, God, that you would use us. Thank you that we can engage in it, that it is now ours because of what you've done for us, Jesus. Thank you that eternity waits for us. We put our hope fully, wholly in you, Jesus. We pray this in your beautiful name. Amen. God bless you. May you have a wonderful week.